Now will bring us the gospel of the grace of God, ministered via the medium, the vessel of Elder Karen Liverman. Amen. Sister Karen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? It's cloudy and rainy and dreary outside, but we're safe and secure in Christ, even in the rain. Can we give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. May not be the day we ordered, but it's the day that the Lord has given us, and we are going to be grateful. Please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you because you're our Father. We're your very own children. We need to have this confidence that you hear us every single time that we pray. Hallelujah. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Who filters our prayers and presents them. Hallelujah. Perfect. Hallelujah, before the throne of grace. Oh, Father, we're asking that you might remember each and every family that's represented here, those that are yet on their way, those that are not here, those that are out of town and traveling abroad. We want to remember them. We also want you to remember our worldwide web audience, Lord. And we know, Lord, that everyone has tests and trials. All of us are facing something, but we want you to continue to encourage the hearts of the saints. Father, open up your word. We know that the Holy Spirit is the teacher, that, hallelujah, all of our wisdom and knowledge, hallelujah, illumination of your word and the gospel of the grace of God comes from him. Lord, we're asking that you might bless us at this time. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess it's no secret where I'm coming from. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you see me coming, I'm coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And after Ephesians, I follow with Colossians. Oh, yeah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10.
Amen.
You guys ought to already have your Bibles turned because you know that's where I'm coming from. Hallelujah. You may say, oh, Sister Karen, why do you keep harping on salvation in eternity? If you don't get salvation right, you're going to have a lot of problems with the rest of it as well. Your life is going to be up and down, topsy-turvy. You're going to be blaming the devil for everything. Hallelujah. You're going to have no peace. Hallelujah. And you deserve peace. It was purchased for you through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Before time's eternal. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, God loved you. Hallelujah. And completed his plan and wonderful works in you. Hallelujah. Well, you may say it don't look wonderful. Hallelujah. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. We're not sightseers. Hallelujah. We're faith walkers. We trust in the Lord. We trust in his word. We are going to start again with our Ephesians. Our reader, will you please read?
Ephesians chapter 1,
Three to five, sir.
3 to 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you read it in the Greek interlinear as well?
Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. In the Greek interlinear. Thank God for the word.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 in the Greek interlinear. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Hallelujah.
As he chose us in him before foundation of world to be us holy and unblemished before him. In love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Hallelujah. And we're now turned. Let's look at that for just one moment before we do Colossians. You know, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, in the heavenlies, in Christ, is where the action is.
Yes.
Not down here on the things that are and the trends that are coming and going. It's yes. all in Him.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's all in Christ. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. Whatever's coming has come to go. It's come to pass. That's why it came, so that it can pass.
That's right.
What is eternal? Those are the things we're to set our affections on, those things that are internal in Christ, in God. Hallelujah. Those things that are sure, completed in eternity. Hallelujah. Those things that are not part of the process, but that are driven by His purposes for your life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we may look at our life and we say, a lot of us, well, you know, I didn't plan it this way. Well, you didn't plan it at all. You didn't plan it at all. You know, we have the illusion of free will. That's all it is. It's an illusion. Just like if you go to a magic show. You know, we had one recently when we were on a boat on vacation, and, you know, the musician came in and he had this thing with the coins, and, you know, I was watching very carefully and I still missed it. Yeah, I still missed it. It was an illusion. And that's what free will is. Free will is an illusion. Your elusive itineraries and agendas are not real. You know, I teach parents. And I teach workers because I've been in child welfare over 40 years. I was young when I started. Yeah, but anyway. We deal now with a lot of relatives that are coming in because their kids are having issues and they're losing their kids. And, they're using drugs and mental illness and all kinds of reasons why families unfold. And we have in the state of Michigan, a quarter of the children are being raised by grandparents. A quarter of them. One quarter. Now, our illusion of retirement, it's an illusion, is that once we work on our job 30 years, we're out and we're going to buy an RV and travel and look over the whole land, or we're going to, you know, write books or take up piano lessons or all these things that we plan, that we look forward to. However, a quarter of our population of children in this state are being raised by grandparents. And they come to me and they say, well, you know, I hadn't planned on raising another bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But guess who did plan on it?
Yes.
God planned it. They were sent to you as a blessing for God's will and purposes. We don't understand all of it. And I tell them, I encourage them, and I applaud them, because here they are. They've already done their due with their children. Now they're parenting grandchildren. Was that their free will choice? Absolutely not. You know, we had one granddad in our class, and he said, you know, my daughter dropped the kids off, and she didn't come back, and I called social service, and the social worker told me, granddad, you did a good job with daughter. Now, daughters have a lot of issues, you know, with stability and so on. He said, she brought them where they could be safe to you. And he said, oh, my God, I was getting ready to take a trip. I was getting ready. I was gone. What we actually end up doing is what God has planned for us to do. And I want to encourage you that you have the strength and the power from Him to complete what He has assigned to you.
Hallelujah.
You be encouraged. Hallelujah. Realizing it's not the devil and his workings. It's all about God. So I wanted to take care of that illusion of free will that you call in the shots, that you command in God, that you're making up some type of agenda and itinerary. God is with you, for you, in you. And it is all about Him and His purposes. Well, I didn't preach that one. All right.
Amen.
Now let's go to Colossians, because you realize that all spiritual blessings, all blessings spiritual in the heavenlies, in Christ. This stuff down here, it's temporary. It's carnal. Hallelujah. It's physical. It is passing away. And the real action is that unseen, invisible, eternal, hallelujah, in the heavenlies, in Christ. That's where our focus should be. All right, Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10.
Colossians chapter 2, the 9th and 10th verse. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Did you say all, or you said
all?
Sorry? All?
All.
In Him dwell all. All right, I just want you to get that. Number 10.
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Hallelujah. You know, this puts to rest the fact that I was listening to the radio, and they were having this big meeting at one of the mega churches, and he was trying to corral everybody in. They had good entertainers coming in, and, you know, which was tantamount in my day to, you know, going to a circus or a carnival, or, you know, where you're going to have some entertainment. So they were listing all the entertainers that are coming in for the people and the dog and pony shows and the rest of it to draw the people in. And then the preacher said, I need you to come because we're going to talk about the fact that some bad things may be coming from God. I said, well, bless God, he got a little light there. You know, the fact of the matter is all things are from him. And he is over all principalities and powers. Isn't that what we just read? It says all principality and power. He's the head of all. And all means all. When we do not talk about the all and God being in control of all, we are eliminating and Xing out his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and his omniscience. Hallelujah. The bottom line at the beginning and the end is all about God. Hallelujah. Not some of it. All of it, the good, the bad, the indifferent, whatever, it's all according to God. Hallelujah. You got to get that. Because you know what? If we don't realize that God is in control of all, we're not safe. Amen. And we don't feel secure.
Amen.
We think there are free radicals out there waiting to attack us and God don't even know about it. Hallelujah. Anything that is, it is according to God. Hallelujah. You be encouraged. Can you read that please in the Greek?
Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 in the Greek, 9 and 10 in the Greek text. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, verse 10,
mm-hmm.
and ye are in him, having been filled.
Hallelujah.
Who is the head of all rule and authority.
Having been filled, he is the head. I do not want you to have a single doubt that God is in control. That God is in control. Things are not out of whack. It looks like it. We got some stuff going on here in our country. That's some crazy. Yeah, but you know what? God's in control of that too. Turn your light off. Whoever get in is man, God's man. Bible said he raised one up. He put one down. For his divine will, his purposes, his testimony. Yeah. So turn your light off. Don't scratch and don't stay up all day, all night watching MSNBC and Fox and all that stuff. Turn your light off. God already got that too. We know it's crazy, but we walk how? By faith, not by what? Not by sight. You can't believe what you see. No way. Hey, it's here today. It's gone tomorrow. And the word of God, though, hallelujah, is a surety. It will stand. It's going to see us through. It's already done in him. Hallelujah. You know, I had a friend of mine, and she said, well, Karen, you know, I like your little ministry. He said, now she and I have gone back years and years and years. I knew her when I was a girl still in college. And she said, but, you know, all y'all talk about is the 14 epistles of Paul. Do y'all believe the whole Bible? I said, we absolutely do believe the whole Bible. But our direction, our doctrine, comes from the dispensation of grace, mystery, truth. And that's where we spend the most of our time because that's written to us, the church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We do use the other parts of the scriptures for corroboration only, not for direction. Hallelujah. Because we know there's seven dispensations and each dispensation more light was revealed. And you have to divide the Bible by dispensation and covenant. Now, we're talking about the completeness of Christ and our lives being completed in him through God's eternal works. Right? So based on that, we're going to collaborate this morning with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read a couple of two, three scriptures from there to collaborate the fact that God is in control and everything is according to his purposes. Reader, can you read Ecclesiastes 3:1, please?
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun.
Isn't that what I talk about all the time? The purposes of God? This preacher, this writer, who was Solomon, considered the most wise man ever to live, came to this conclusion, that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time is a creation created by God for manifestation purposes only. This is where the processes that are driven by his purposes flow through. And this is kind of what this writer has written here. Can you also look at number 11, 3:11, please, reader?
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
We don't understand everything. Apostle Paul says we look through a glass dimly. We don't understand. And this writer is saying the same thing. You can't understand the ways and workings of God. How many times have things appeared in the matrix and we scratch? Oh, my God. What is that? Not it. What is that? What is it? For! What is it for? It has a purpose. And this writer has said that. He says he's made everything beautiful in his time. You can turn your light off. Yeah, because he has already completed that thing, which our consciousness has just not caught up to it yet. But it's already done. That problem that you had, that you walked and you scratched and you moaned and groaned and you thought you wasn't going to make it and get out of it, some of that stuff you don't even remember what it was. Because it came to pass. It's all gone. Hallelujah. And it was all according to God. And can you read the last one, number 14?
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him.
All right. Everything is about his testimony. And everything is already done. Don't I read that week after week in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that our lives are completed in Christ and God? Here we have this preacher, Solomon, writing that very same thing. This is corroborating what we teach and preach out of the 14 epistles. Yeah, we go to the other parts of the Bible for corroboration, not for direction. Because you know what happens when you go for direction in other parts of the Bible. I know what happened in my house. My husband came home and threw out all the pork. Yeah, he said, no more pork in my house. I said, whoa, buddy. I happen to like me some barbecue. You can tell, right? Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. I like it. What did Paul say about that in his epistles? What did he say? He said, if it, eat it in faith, pray over it. He said, eat. You know, if meat offend your brother, you abstain from meat with him. Don't offend him. But you can eat it in faith. You know, but my husband didn't get that far. He was stuck in eating Bible soup, putting all this stuff up together. Yeah. So you'll be confused if you are mixing those dispensations and those covenants. You want to cut it straight. Stay with where our word is. Stay with the letters, your mail, written to you, the church. And that brings us back to the 14 epistles. I'd like to bring your attention to a document. And it is called Spiritual Apatheism and Flexodology in Today's Church.
Yeah.
We've kind of given you an introduction of what it's about through this point. But I found it very interesting. And again, it is Spiritual Apatheism and Flexodology in Today's Church. Today, as we observe the operations and functions of many ministries, We note that society's major civilizational advancements in the physical realm have created in the church a phenomena which manifests apathy toward things that are truly spiritual. And whatever is truly spiritual is unseen, invisible, because it's in the heavenlies in Christ where everything is actualized. Everything is initiated. Hallelujah. It's not that God's people don't believe in him anymore. The majority will absolutely affirm that they believe, but the pertinent question is, in what? In other words, what is it about God that they believe? Well, they believe a lot of things. Some people tell you, you know, all the good is coming from God, and all the bad is coming from the devil. Then they sometimes kind of, you know, say the devil did it or the devil made me do it, you know, or they come up with all kind of stuff. When you start finding out and talking to people about what they believe about God, lots of times it's fiction. Mm-hmm. It's not the real. They don't believe in the true, powerful, invisible God, the Creator, our Father, who is loving and kind. That's not what you're going to get. You're going to get, oh, I'm mad at God because God did this, or God, I prayed and God didn't answer, or, you know, they come up with all kinds of things about God. So you got to be careful about what you're listening to. Hallelujah. Statistics will readily show that a significant number go to church on a sporadic basis, and this number seems to be dwindling as other issues arrest their attention more and more. Even when they do go, it's more to socialize or enjoy some familiar ritual or entertainment peculiarity than it is to actually worship and fellowship with God. Thus, the focus is more on their personal wishes, wants, desires, and aspiration than it is on God's will, plan, and purpose. In this sense, they are not found putting much thought or even effort into their faith in God's agenda, but it's all in their own. You know, you go there and they'll tell you, oh, we're going to be preaching about 5 easy steps to prosperity. Oh, we're going to be talking about 10 ways to build your faith. Oh, we're going to talk about how to pay your bills and how to get a husband. And, you know, and they just go on and on and on and on. Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection is a sideline. It's a blip. It's a footnote. It is not the main attraction. Hallelujah. We have all these things that we are highlighting and giving our air time and our radio time and our study time about us and our temporary lives as we are passing through. You know, the Bible tells us that we are not of this world. Why don't we act like it? We act just like them. A lot of times you can't tell the difference between them and us. Yeah, we act like them, we dress like them, we talk like them. If it's but for the grace of God and he knows his own, we couldn't tell the difference. Am I saying that you got to look holy? Now, you know better. I told y'all my story. I was looking holy and didn't have no makeup on and long dresses and you just got going on. And my husband told me, you're too plain. Yeah, I love you, but you're too plain. I'd have gone out that night, but it was nighttime. There's no sin in dressing up. In looking nice. There's no sin in having an education. You know, those things. But on the same token, we must prioritize our life in Christ. We must prioritize the unseen, realizing the seen is temporal and passing. It's not the main attraction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So be wary of that. If they're promoting something other than the gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and who you are in Christ, then it's not worth you spending your time in. Amen. Instinctively, many are moved to search for comfort and assurance in the physical vein of this present life, thus relegating God to be only a supplier of perishable goods. We got the Holy Ghost being a genie. The Bible is a little lamp you rub and you start commanding God to bring you things and do things and straighten this out for you the way you want it and so on and so on and so on. We need to get away from that because that's just going back to those illusions that we were talking about. Hence, this has resulted in the rise of spiritual apatheism, which can be defined as a disinclination to assess much value on unseen things. Mm-hmm. In recent years, this mindset has become increasingly apparent among God's people in proportion to their economic progress and the emergence of a larger base of the status quo of the middle and upper classes. Unfortunately, this distorted view of blissfulness has become the foundation of too many ministries. Stop judging a person's spirituality by what they own. Stop judging a person's spirituality of how high they've reached in their profession. Stop judging a person's spirituality on physicality, which can never explain spirituality. Amen, 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 amen. You know, I went to a church once and the preacher said, you know, I think I want to go into politics. I said, well, why? He said, well, that's the highest calling of the land. I said, preacher, you already got the highest calling of the land. You already got the highest calling of the land. A minister of the gospel of God. A preacher of the gospel. That's the highest. Amen, amen, amen. But you see how we are so distorted? And so I just told him, I said, well, you know what? It's going to be hard for you to serve two masters. And it was. I won't go into that anymore either, but it was. As some view the complexity of the complicated and confusing world in which they live, it gives the illusion that the crux of education should be invested predominantly in the secular aspects of epistemology. In this sense, most of which is viewed as spiritual is actually physical. No, it's physicality. It's not spirituality. Oh, I felt the move of God. Oh, my God. Oh, wasn't the Holy Ghost high when he came in the room? Oh, my God. We're always in the presence of God. He didn't just come in the room. You know, the Holy Ghost was moving and, shaking and quaking and, you know, and they think that's spirituality. It is not. It's flesh. It's carnal. Hallelujah. And so when you ain't feeling all of that, does that mean God ain't there? You see how we get tricked because of these illusions? That's an illusion. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The move of God is taking place in your life all the time. Oh. You know, people say, I want to see miracles. I say, well, you know, you want to see miracles? Yeah. Well, okay, you stop lying. That's a miracle. Yeah. You start controlling that tongue. Yeah. You know, the only good that we do is the good that God is doing in us. We are depraved. The scripture plainly says all have sinned. All have sinned. All of our righteousnesses is filthy rags. When we are talking to people, let's talk to them with compassion and love and grace, realizing that whatever befalls them, if it were not but for the grace of God, could befall you too. So let's love one another. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many of God's people spend much of their time pining for simpler solutions to life's problems while forsaking the blueprint that has been outlined for the grace recipient in today's church. Such would rather trust in human capabilities purposely aided by God. Okay. So, rather than look into the word, which is our life and our liberty, we look at the news. Yeah. We call each other. Yeah. We go to magazines and all of these secular, carnal things. When we already have the answer to our problems within ourselves. And it goes back to who we are in Christ. It goes back to trusting in the Lord. It goes back to realizing that our lives are completed in Christ and God. And God already got it together. It goes back to turning off the light and resting in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's our solution. But we'd rather trust in human capabilities and think that we're going to have God as a ace in the hole. After I've done all I can do, then I'm going to pray. Kind of backwards, isn't it? Yeah, I think so. With this facade in place, they show little, if any, evidence of renouncing their so-called freedom of personal choices. And now we already talked about free will. Your personal choice is an illusion. This produces a concrete barrier to one's own comprehension of a world of total dependency on God, which entails deference and strict obedience to his design for his beloved. Again, we already, my husband uses that story as an analogy about Dorothy. Dorothy was going through all of that in Oz, and she was already home. She's already home. You go through all of this turmoil, sleeplessness, scratching, going on, and your solution's already there, already done. It's already completed in Christ. Such behavior can be termed flexodoxy, which describes the practice of those who adhere to the belief that man participates in determining the destiny of his course. In this rule of thinking, everything touching life is flexibly cued to the dictates of human actions. Thus, it appears that flexodoxy is a natural precursor to apathism. Consequently, there are those who make themselves the center of their existence, leaving very little or no room at all for God to independently operate in their lives. Those are the ones that say, okay, I want it this way, I want it that way, I want it for mine and mine only. I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And they go on and on and on and on and on, thinking that the dictates of life is about that. And it's not. It's not. It's all about God and his completed work in us according to his purposes. Hallelujah. Those who endorse such doctrine, belief, think that this constitutes the correct concept of living. They offer as evidence the rationale that such philosophy is the key to uniting the otherwise most decisive and volatile of social forces. The premise of this thinking is that true faith engenders a common basis of fellowship, believing that it is better to be lukewarm in a general sense than to be at risk of distinctly isolated along lines of godly principles. It's better for us to go along with the crowd than to stand up for the truth. Hallelujah. I was teaching my children when they were growing up. I said, you know, don't follow the crowd. The crowd's going to hell. Amen. You know, you stop and think and listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And yeah, so maybe it's not popular. But at the end, that's the right way. The right way is God's way. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. But there are apparent problems with this analysis as it promotes humanly selfish agendas. Here it should be noted that it is selfishness, not godly principles, that is the disruptive force. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Mm-hmm. Selfishness is a disruptive force in our life.
Praise Jesus.
We have to be who we really are, and that's who we are in Christ.
Amen.
That should be the most important thing. Again, it's about prioritizing. Prioritize your Christian walk. Prioritize who you are in him. Prioritize what the Bible says about you and about your situation. Don't be a sightseer believing what you see. All this hocus pocus stuff, this illusion stuff. That's not your real life. In fact, if one really exercises true faith in God in lieu of embracing social and political correctiveness, one is drawn away from self-centering on human issues to focus on the will, plan, and purpose of God. It is selfishness, not tolerance, that dictates that one directs one's own life and dwells in one's illusionary comfort zone. Yeah. Selfishness is that which causes one to operate according to that which is acceptable to the majority rather than risk being labeled as unorthodox or even heretical. Hallelujah. So the main question confronting Christendom today is, how will it respond to the challenge of the avalanche of humanly contrived solutions that are offered for the ever-increasing problems of depraved nature? What is being foisted, especially by the so-called successful megachurches, is a compromising gospel that in general, in everything physical and visible, it generalizes in everything physical and visible, but not specific in anything spiritual and invisible. The influence of this so-called progressive approach in reaching out to the world is to package a gospel that in effect fantasizes the folly of prioritizing temporary physical commodities while simply ignoring the power of the foolishness of the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the grace of God. And we reference 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 1:21. In a world that is dominated by fleshy compassions, fleshy passions that attempt to amalgamate these fashionable human amenities into the ministry only fuels the flames of the depraved nature. Thus the proverbial throwing of gasoline into the fire that is already raging out of control. The basic fact of the matter is that the informed spiritual base of the body of Christ must stand uncompromisingly in the foundational teaching of the directives that are addressed to the Grace Church in this present dispensation. This entails strict adherence to the thought conveyances and instructions recorded in the epistles written by the Apostle Paul, as well as all others whose writings are collaborative in nature to his. What are we saying? We're saying, read your own mail. Stick to your own gospel. That's where the power of God lies for us. Not in us going back into the Old Testament and fasting and throwing out a fleece and, you know, wondering whether or not if it's wet on one side and, you know, giving God a lot of hocus pocus. Remember, I told you all that is illusionary. Those are all illusions. You have the Holy Spirit who is your teacher and your director. The Holy Spirit resides within you. Not like in the Old Testament when he only talked to the prophets, the kings, you know, you know, he didn't talk to us. He speaks to us through our heart. He speaks to us through our word. Pick up your Bible. Blow the dust off of it. Stop listening to all that stuff that you hear on the radio and see on the TV that is not good for you. That's going to give you a spiritual tummy ache. That's going to not lead you and guide you in the proper truth. Hallelujah. Stop wasting your good time on things that you have no control of, because it's already completed by Christ in God in eternity. Turn your light on. This type of allegiance is exhibited by those who are dedicated enough to stand against the sweeping tide of compromise that has seemingly engulfed most mainline denominational organizations, even the so-called conservative ones. The specifications of sound ministry require a greater evaluation and love of God and the truthfulness of his word above the worldly assessments of the general amassing of crowds, economics, and real estate. See, we are sightseers. We look and see these great campuses and real estate and nice lawns and fancy buildings and big cars. And we think that's spirituality. Oh, my God, they got a Bentley. They must be really saved. Oh, my God, they got fine clothes and furs. They must really be saved. Oh, my God, did you see that ring on her finger? They must be saved. Oh, my God, we're not moved by what we see. We ought to be moved by what the word says and what the word says about us and what has been provided for us. Amen. Through, hallelujah, the spiritual blessings, those invisible, eternal things. That's where we prioritize. We got to stop sightseeing, hallelujah, and look into the word, which is where our liberty lies. Hallelujah. It is critical that those that are enlightened should continue to prioritize the unpopular yet truth of the gospel, which propagates the everlasting, eternal, spiritual, unseen things of our gospel, the mystery, over the inevitably perishing, temporary, physical, seen things. Mm-hmm. And we reference 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18. And reader, can you please read that?
Amen.
Those things are dominating the emotions of the majority of God's elect. So please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And that's our closing scripture.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, King James translation. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Can you do the interlinear, please?
2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18, in the interlinear Greek text. Not considering us, have mercy, the things being seen, but the things not seen. For the things seen, temporary, but the things not seen, eternal.
Amen. Oh, saints, you can't be moved by what you see. Hallelujah. That's not where the real is. To accomplish this, there must be a dedicated force of God's elect who are thoroughly committed to the doctrinal teachings of the grace contract, which predominantly focuses almost entirely on God's eternal purpose that he decreed in eternity as the ultimate end, which entails perpetual joy and glory to those whom he has elected to be the benefactors of such tremendous honor.
Yes.
It is crucial that God's people comprehend these facts as the primary message that should be communicated to the church, that its prioritized view should be heavenly instead of earthy. And we reference Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2. And it reads, "If ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hidden in Christ in God." The center of attention of the body of Christ must shift away from the temporary earthly abode to the present existence of creation in the eternal heavenly sphere of its everlasting existence in him. Ah, saints, viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to your daily living. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight.
Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen.